Life is full of examples of success and failure. If we are honest, everybody can look at their lives and see the truth in this statement. Although there are many contributors to whether an endeavor is a success or failure, it is not sufficient just to have an intended goal in mind or even the desire and energy to reach that goal. There must be a way or a plan which directs the how to reach the goal. This is called strategy. Leaders of successful endeavors recognize this and do not enter a project without first formulating a strategy or a way to achieve success. The noted author on leadership, John P. Coda, wrote, "Leaders establish the vision for the future, and then they set the strategy for getting there." If there is no strategy or plan, the effort becomes one of hit or miss, which can bring about frustration and loss of ambition to reach the desired outcome, regardless of its worthiness or even importance. This is especially evident in politics and political campaigns. Usually, it is the candidate who has the best campaign strategy wins. This most often means to not only enliven the candidate base, but to concentrate on those regions which are most likely to accept his or her message, and thus expand their support base. Time and money spent in other regions is very little and only maybe a token at best. And we see this very much in the nation's politics. Although not a lesson about politics, today's gospel lesson relates that there was a similar plan or strategy which Jesus followed. To understand Jesus' ministry or campaign to spread God's message, we must turn to the map of the day. The region of Galilee, in which Jesus spent most of his time, was a fertile agricultural area which was also populated by many small towns and villages. To the east, it had the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. To the west was Phoenicia and the Mediterranean Sea. To the north was Syria, and to the south, Samaria and Judah. This was a particular vital location for commerce, since the major north-south trade routes between Egypt, Syria, and to the east and west went through Galilee. Therefore, it tended to be cosmopolitan and global in nature. In many ways, the known world was at its doorsteps. Being such a vital area, it was the prize of many conquerors throughout the ancient world. During the time of Jesus, it hadn't been that long since the exiled Jews had returned to the region, living side by side with the Canaanites. Therefore, the people living in Galilee were no strangers to change and even revolutionary thinking. New ideas were more readily accepted in this region than in the south, or Judean region, in which Jerusalem was located. It must be noted that Caesarea was to the west on the Mediterranean, just 25 miles from Nazareth, where Jesus was raised. Caesarea was the seat of the Roman Empire in that region. It was also a thriving international seaport and economic center. During that time, it was a rapidly growing city with much expansion and building. Some have speculated that being a carpenter, Jesus' father Joseph could very well have worked from time to time in Caesarea. This would have meant that Jesus himself, his apprentice and helper, would have worked there also. It was here that Jesus would have seen the life of the rich and the famous. Perhaps during this time, he learned that the message of the kingdom of God falls on deaf ears among the rich and the famous. Since their lives were consumed by the pursuit of riches and power. Therefore, this region was not fertile ground for his future ministry or campaign. Those who would be the most receptive were the working class, people of Galilee, who were eager for change in a new life. Therefore, Jesus Galilee centered his ministry within Galilee territory. It was here that he would spend most of his time. His ministry was centered out of the town of Capernaum, situated along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum seems to have been the economic hub of the Sea of Galilee. It is interesting to note that the Sea of Galilee was not that large, 50 miles long, and its widest, 25 miles wide. In comparison, Lake Ontario, the smallest of the Great Lakes, is 6 times larger than the Sea of Galilee. Regardless, the Sea of Galilee was the center of Galilean activity and the center of Jesus' ministry or campaign. It is clear that Jesus' strategy was to center his efforts among the common working class of the day. At first, his message seemed like an extension of John the Baptist, for his beginning message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. But unlike John, who stayed in the fringes of society, Jesus took his campaign, his message, throughout the region, utilizing institutions such as synagogues, as well as the streets and homes and hillside. Unlike John, his campaign was not limited to preaching and teaching, but included the ministry of healing. It is also interesting to note that it was not recorded, has not been recorded in any of the Gospels, that baptism was a part of Jesus' ministry. There's no recording of Jesus baptizing. Very interesting. Since much of the local economy and life centered around the Sea of Galilee, it was also natural that Jesus' first disciples, his inner circle, were fishermen of that area. It was in the area of Capernaum that he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. All were everyday working class men who most likely had prior contact with Jesus. He had most likely seen that these men before and determined that they had the qualities of honesty, devotion, tenacity, and eagerness to learn. All these traits were a necessity to be a disciple. He also saw within them the ability and drive to keep his message and campaign alive. He knew that being a successful fisherman demanded that they were not quitters and did not succumb to disappointments. After all, the fisherman's life was always subject to the somewhat unpredictable fish patterns. Patience and perseverance are the virtues of a successful fisherman. From the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, it was quite clear as to the strategy he would take. He knew that it would not be the rich and the famous who would have the inclination, the will, or desire to accept the demands of being his followers and disciples. The rich and famous were and are, in general, too focused upon themselves and their pursuits of their earthly treasures. The fact is that his campaign took on the air of anti-establishment and guarded against those of wealth and power. It is perfectly clear that Jesus' ministry or campaign was not about the dreams and desires of an earthly kingdom and being a political leader. That was not Jesus. But many misinterpreted him and saw him in this light. They should have taken note as to whom he chose as his inner circle of disciples. They were not men with a prestigious background and education, nor were they men of authority and wealth. They were men seeking more to life than their everyday circumstances presented. Perhaps they were even dreamers seeking a more meaningful and purposeful life. It is important to know that Jesus did not come to fulfill our wishes and desires for earthly treasures, whether they be wealth or power. It is clear from the very beginning of his ministry that he came to lead us to a life which no politician can give us. He did come to us from God to reveal the truth about a life which is motivated by the power and the joy of God's love. This is the life which has no broken promises or lies so prevalent in the politics of man's earthly kingdoms, which are filled with corruption and deceit. To the contrary, being a follower of Jesus' message is to have a life filled with the power of love, love and giving, so that others may find a new life of hope. This is the campaign to which we have been called, as were those original followers and disciples. It is a call that demands the totality of our being. It is a call which demands our response to, "Follow me, I will make you fish for people." To follow Jesus' message and to be his disciples means that we are not just sheep which follow lies and false promises. In blindly following such false shepherds, we are no better than the lies and life promoted by them. For we are then seen as a part of his or her flock of sheep. who we follow becomes who we are. As Christians, we must always make our decisions about life and who we may follow or support, be they political or in other arenas in life, by answering the question, is this being a disciple of God's love? That's the question we must always ask. Is this being a disciple of God's love? For we are called to his disciples to do no less. Amen.